here again tonight. You know, when you are warped like Brian says I am, I'll get you back one of these days. I was a little slow on a comeback, but I'll get one pretty soon here. Anyway, if you don't learn to overcome it soon, you're in for a pitiful life. About, I guess 7 or 8 years ago, I was visiting with my wife, and her family up in Oklahoma, and we went to their church, and there was a missionary there visiting, and he spoke, and after the service, I went up to the front, you know, just to meet him, and, you know, just kind of chit-chat with the man, and, there was a long line waiting. I stood in line like everybody else, and when I got up to him, he says, "Well, hi, what grade are you in?" Hence the mustache. One day I'll be bald like my dad and my uncles, and then I'll be okay, I think. Until then, I have to put up with people coming to my door and, you know, saying, "Hi, is your mom home?" But like I say, long ago, I learned to put up with that kind of stuff and laugh along with them. And so I've had a good life. Believe me, I have no complaints. I've heard every short joke. I've heard everything in the world. So it's no problem at all. But I'll still get you back. Open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Once again, it's good to be here tonight with you folks. No other church that I'd rather be a part of than this church. It's nothing like being here. I tell you what, if you haven't experienced looking around at other churches and just being in other places, believe me, when you do, you'll realize the blessing we have here in this assembly. It's a great place to be. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Am I on here? Okay. I always forget to ask you guys that. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in this place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." There are several passages in the Bible that I've read over and over for years, and several of them really make an impression on my mind. A lot of times it's like this verse, to me it's a very tragic verse, a very sad verse. It just makes me, just kind of hurts, you know. Brother Milton was talking this morning about Israel and talking about the churches in Revelation and how the Lord just decides, "Look, it's all, I'm done." And this verse here, to me, is typical of that. It says several phrases that really touch me. It says, "The word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision." And then it says that Eli was laying down, and his eyes began to wax dim, and he could not see. The reason I read this passage tonight to you is because I believe that for many years now, the church of God is losing its vision. It's laying down, ready to fall asleep. And their eyes are waxing dim, and just cannot see. And I believe that what is needed in the church today is not more programs, more methods. It's not more people necessarily. I believe it's vision. I believe that we need a vision in the church today. I don't mean a vision of a once-a-year thing when we go out for the following week and get really on fire. I mean a vision that would change your life. Proverbs 29:18 is another verse that deals with the same subject. Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, you may not agree wholly with what this verse means in this context, but let me tell you, my friend, people are perishing every day. Like Marty, she read while I go in a poem, "And they perish, and they perish." Because, see, we're not here today because we just enjoy every year getting together for mission conference. We're here today because souls are at stake here. We're here because people are perishing. Because the Bible says that the gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You understand that? They're lost. If they don't hear the gospel, If they don't hear if they don't believe the gospel, they're lost. How shall they hear? How shall they believe? They must hear the gospel to be saved. And if you don't believe that, I'm sorry. That's how it is. You may not agree with everything God says. You may not agree with what the Bible says about everything, but God is God, and God will do what He says. And you can't change what God says. You might as well just submit to God and believe what He says and get on His side. I want to share, first of all, tonight, in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, I want to share just three things, three different visions that we need in the church today. And I'm not going to start off with the typical idea that we always try to give each other about a vision of lost people going to hell, although that's very important and one of the main reasons we're here. I'm going to start off with something before that, and I believe that we need a vision of the Lord Himself. Amen. And we could pay people plenty of money, I'm sure, to just go out and just do the mechanics of passing out tracts and even witnessing in their own way or publishing a tract in a newspaper or that could all be done very simply by just paying people to do it. But I believe we need a vision of the Lord Himself first to do a real work for Him. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And then skip down to verse 17. John saw a vision. He says here, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid up his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Several things here about John. He got a vision of the Lord. He got a vision of the Lord. My friend, tonight, we need a vision of this same Lord. First of all, it says he was in the Spirit. You ever thought about that? He was in the Spirit. You know what? You can't get a vision of the Lord when you're in the flesh. Christians today need to get out of the flesh and in the Spirit. I mean, we need to really come and get a real good view of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the midst of our daily routine, not in the midst of our TV program or in the midst of all our business doing. I mean, we need to get aside and really get down on our knees and get a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get a hold of Him. And the reason I say this about a vision of the Lord is because Jesus once, in the Gospel of Luke, He said, why call you me Lord? Lord, in their own sense, He is the Lord Jesus Christ. But to them, it's just a term. He's not their Lord. They don't know what He says. They don't even know what He told them to do. And when they hear, they don't want to do what He says. But we as Christians, we need to get a vision of the Lord Himself so we can do what He says. Another thing John did, it says he fell at his feet. He worshipped Him. John worshipped the Lord. I think we need as Christians also need to come to a point where we, first of all, can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can maybe more ably go out and get a better vision of the lost. We can get a better view of the lost people in this world. You know, I was thinking the other day about so many lost people who, in the eyes of the world, have done great things for their faith, have done great things for poor people. And I'm speaking of people like Mother Teresa and others like that, and Gandhi. And you begin to wonder sometimes, you know, what is it with these people? You know, what separates them from any other Christian who gives his life for the cause of Christ? And there are many, many reasons. I realize that, but one thing that I thought about is the verse that says that Christ died for all, that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto Him which died and rose to them. You know, the difference is that people who don't know the Lord Jesus, they don't really live for the Lord Jesus. They live for their cause. They live for fame. They live to be recognized. They do these things to receive something. And some of them do it even to receive hope of eternal life in heaven, because they think they give their lives for a cause, and maybe by that way they can have everlasting life. I was sharing this with some people in Oklahoma City a couple weeks ago, how the people in Mexico walk hundreds of miles every year to pay respects to this little doll about so high. And they walk barefoot, some of them. They walk with their children. They walk, some of them, they're 70, 80 years old, walking for hours and hours and hours. And they do these things just in hope of maybe on Judgment Day that will help them in gaining everlasting life. What I'm trying to say is, we don't need to just do certain things. We need to really get down and get a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, like John the Apostle did here. He fell down at his feet. He realized who he was. He fell down at his feet and he worshipped him. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 8 is a very common verse that we use all the time in a mission conference. But verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know, before Isaiah heard from the Lord, who will I send and who will go for me? Before he did that, he got a vision of the Lord.
Amen.
He got a vision of the Lord. He said, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Several things here that I've come to realize is that he saw the Lord when the king died, when all hope was gone. All hope of that he had maybe in a man, in a kingdom, in some earthly reign, in some powerful man. All hope was gone. He saw the Lord. And I think that we as Christians also have many things we put our hopes in and we forget about the Lord. We get our eyes off the Lord. We get our eyes on things. We get our eyes on pleasures. We get our eyes on plans and our eyes on our own jobs and our careers and whatever it may be. And we forget sometimes to really get a good view, a good vision of the Lord Jesus. It says here, he was sitting on a throne. I ask you tonight, who is on your throne? Who is on the throne of your heart tonight? I mean, I'm not asking tonight necessarily if you're a Christian or not. I'm talking to Christians. Who's on the throne of your heart tonight? You've confessed him as Lord, and I ask you tonight, is he your Lord? Do you really want to do what the Lord says? Do you really make decisions, daily decisions, based on what the Lord says? Or do you just want to do what feels good, what seems good, what seems right, and not rock the boat? It says here that Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We have the temple, the Holy Spirit, right? And his train filled the temple. In other words, there was no room for anything else. And if you want to get a real good vision of the Lord, if you want to really have a right relationship with him, you're going to have to let his train fill the temple. He's going to have to be in your all in all. He's going to have to be everything. Well, then in the last thing, Isaiah, I see here in verse 8, I'm sorry, verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. You're going to think sometimes, I know I do, I confess, that, you know, I've arrived at a certain state of or level of spirituality, and you know, I'm something now. Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone. Who am I? Who are you? Who are we? We're nothing. And that is one of the reasons why we must go out and preach the gospel, is because there are people out there just like you, who are just as wicked as you and I were. Just as lost as you and I were. Just as rebellious as you and I were. Just as blind as you and I were. We're all the same. Well, look in Acts chapter 10 now. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending up unto him. As it had been a great sheet knit the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. The voice spake unto him again a second time, God hath cleansed that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Verse 28, Peter says, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or come unto one of another nation. God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You see what Peter saw here? Peter got a vision, didn't he? He got a vision of the lost people. He got a vision now of people that he didn't think were worthy. He didn't think they deserved it. He didn't think they were as good as he was. He didn't think that they merited anything that he had. He thought he was just a little bit better, a cut above the rest. God showed him three times, and Peter finally realized that God sees all men alike. Tonight, do you see all men alike? Do you really realize that there are people out there in the world, at your job, on your street, where you work, other countries, and are just like you are, that need the gospel just as bad as you did? I'm telling you, there's no difference. There's not a bit of difference in the world. We have been blessed, that has been mentioned already several times this today. We've been blessed tremendously as Christians. And when you think about the grace of God coming down, God, I think a verse today, it says over there in Isaiah, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Wow. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. God was pleased to bruise his own son to pay your sins and mine. It pleased God to chastise his own son to give us peace with him. How can we ever, ever boast of anything of our own? How can we ever think that we are any better or any more deserving or any have any merit at all? We have none. God showed this to Peter. He said, Peter, go out and actually do a work for the Lord and minister to people just like him. Unclean, just like him. Well, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now they had gone throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I see here Paul, he gets a vision also. But you notice several things here. It says that they tried to go into one place and the Spirit wouldn't let them go. They tried to go somewhere else, he still wouldn't let them go. And after several times this happened, he got a vision of the Lord. He got a vision from this man in Macedonia. You know, I've heard people saying things like, I'm praying about witnessing to a certain person, or I'm praying about where to go witness, or I'm praying about where I should go preach at, or things like that. And you know, I find many of these people, while they're praying about these things, they're not doing anything at all.
That's right.
But you know, you don't find the apostles here sitting down in the fishing boat, just sitting there on the coast, on the shore, for days and days, saying, "Oh Lord, where should we go? I mean, where are some people we can minister to? Where are some people that need to hear the gospel?" My friend, you need to pray about where to go and just sit there waiting. Believe me, you can go and preach somewhere. You can preach to your family and preach to your co-workers. You can preach to people on your street. And also you can pray the Lord to send you maybe where he wants you to go. But don't expect the Lord to show you something like that if you're just sitting there waiting and not doing anything at all. These men got a vision when they were doing something. They got a vision when they were out knocking on doors. They were out doing something, trying to do something, and the Lord directed them. He didn't direct idle men. He directed men who were busy doing something for him. I believe that we need again to get a vision of the lost. I believe that we need to get a good view of lost people. Unclean people just like you, just like me. People who don't deserve heaven just like you don't, just like I don't. People who are blind just like you were. I mean, people, let me tell you, there's no difference. We need a vision of them. Well, look in 2 Kings chapter 20. What I'm trying to say is, if you don't have a burden for lost souls, you don't have a vision about seeing people saved right now, then don't try to be so super spiritual about praying for God's will or praying for God to show you something when you know already what you ought to do. We ought to be looking out in this lost world, getting outside these doors, and trying to find people who are open to the gospel and give them the gospel, God might save their soul. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. The third thing tonight I want to share with you is we need to get a vision of our own life. A vision of the frailty, the brevity of our own life. A vision of how short life really is. Have you ever thought about it? I know we all, at one time or another, think about it. But my friend, we can't think about it too often and adjust our life accordingly. Hezekiah heard from the Lord he was going to die. Not many people have heard something like that from the Lord. You're going to die. Well, Hezekiah, he didn't just lay down and mope. He went to the Lord in prayer. You know that? He went to the Lord and he prayed to the Lord. He did something about it. He asked the Lord to have mercy on him. And my friend, I believe that each and every one of us tonight, if we could hear from the Lord when we're going to die, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a year from now, if we could know that, I believe that many of us would change the courses our lives are taking.
That's right.
I believe there are some things that we would just not worry about. I know we wouldn't. I mean, you'd be stupid to worry about some things like that. There's some things you would go out and do. You go out and do for the Lord. You just do different things. You change the plans you've made for your life if you just knew.
Amen.
Why I'm saying that is that we do know. We know it's short. And my friend, let me tell you, whether you're going to die next year or whether you're going to die in 50 years, there are some things that you and I are caught up in, some things that you and I are worried about that just are not as important as we really think they are. There's some things that really, what in the world is the big deal? I mean, it really isn't. I am as guilty as anyone else in this whole world. I mean, who cares who wins the Super Bowl, right? Who cares who wins the NBA playoff game? I mean, big deal. And I like watching basketball, and I like watching football, but my friend, there are some things that are not important. And we give our lives to them, we give our whole body and soul to them, and at the end of our life, what are we going to say? I tell you what I'm going to say, I have no pleasure in them. What do you have? What will you have at the end of your days? I believe that getting a vision of our own life will cause us to react. I believe if we can really get down and get a hold of what life really is, how short it is, and how important it is to live each day to its fullest, to please the Lord, to honor Him, we will definitely have a reaction. We will start doing things we should be doing and stop doing things we shouldn't be doing, and we will have a definite reaction in our own life. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I have an uncle, he's a great uncle, who passed away last week. I wasn't very, very close to him. I didn't know him real well, but he passed away this last Monday. We didn't hear about it until about 4 days after it happened, but we'd just been speaking of him the night before we heard. We thought he was still alive, but he was a very wealthy man, and he gave his kids everything that they could ever want. He was brought up in a very poor home, and he thought that the best thing to do was give his kid everything they ever wanted. And it turned out that he was very foolish in doing these things, because his kids, when they got old enough, they took him to the cleaners. They took everything he had. And even after his own wife died, he was so broke, they say he couldn't bury her, so the kids paid for the money to bury her. And after she died, then they sued him to get what he had left, I guess his home, to get back what they had paid for. In other words, he lost everything. Everything he had invested his whole life into, he lost it all. His whole life was making money, and then he used the money to give to his family, but at the end of it all, he even lost his family. He was not very wise. He was quite foolish in his thinking, He didn't get a vision of his life. He didn't realize it came down to the end of his life. Even if he had given his children everything he had owned, and then they went on to do good and even loved him, even so, all of his money, if he did all that and lost his soul, he was not wise. We need to get a vision of our own life. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. That is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Have you ever been to the house of mourning? I'm sure you've all been to a funeral. Many of you have probably been to one in this last year. Did you lay it to heart? I mean, when you saw what is the end of all men, when you saw what is the end of your own body, did you lay it to heart? There is a place in Mexico, a town called Guanajuato, the capital, the state where we live in. For some odd reason, the ground there mummifies dead bodies. It just literally mummifies them. It just preserves them so well. It's incredible. And they got a museum there. They've got, probably 70 or 80, maybe 100, probably 100 mummies. In glass cases, you can walk by and look at these mummies. I'm talking about anywhere from 2 or 3 month old embryos to 90-year-old men mummified. That's a sight. That is a sight that you'll never forget, because that's the end of all of us. That's what we're going to be. Just rotten, dirty flesh. And we'll be in dust before long. You see, the end of this life, all that is done in this life, all that is done for your own self, all that is done just for your own pleasure, your own desires, is all lost. Only the things that are done for Christ are going to count. That's it. That's all you're going to have. And it'll cause you to think about it. I guarantee you. We went to visit my sister this past week. Some of my family, we drove up for the afternoon to visit with Sandy. I don't know if some of y'all may know about my sister, who has her husband is dying. He's terminally ill with liver disease, but they don't expect him to live but a few more months. You see him laying in that bed. He can't get up by himself anymore. He has to be picked up and put in a wheelchair, and he can hardly feed himself. He can't do anything for himself whatsoever. And this man, 45 years old or so, 6'2", 240 pound, what he used to be, Vietnam veteran, and now he's laying in bed, just dying, losing weight every day. You see, you go to the house of mourning and you get a real good vision of your own life. You realize what your end is. You realize, when I get to be that age, what do I want to say for myself? What do I want to say that I've done? What do I want to have accomplished in my own life? And it causes you to think. Psalm chapter 90. Psalm 90, verse 12. You see, also it says here Moses got a vision. I believe he did. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom. That's what's needed tonight, is wisdom. There's enough foolishness around, believe me, plenty of foolishness. Teach us to number our days. Have you numbered your days? Have you really thought about? Have you considered? Have you numbered your days and applied your hearts to wisdom? If you're here and you're playing church, call yourself a churchgoer, but you're not saved, you're not really forgiven of your sins, let me ask you, after all your life is done, after all you've gained, after all you've accomplished, after all you've done, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Are riches that important? Is a good job that important? Is a career that important that you just cannot have time to find God? Not have time to consider your own sins? Not have time to really think about your own relationship with the Lord Jesus? You don't have time, you don't have any desire at all to think about eternity? Are you so foolish? You just think about this life. That's foolishness. Anyone at all who thinks only about this life, a foolish man. You're here tonight and you're a Christian. Have you numbered your days? You love the Lord? Have you numbered your days? Are you putting things off, I want to say? Are you putting things off for later on? I know many of us. I know I find myself putting things off, doing things now that are not important, and putting things off that really are important. At the end of it all, what's going to count? What will really count? He says, teach us to number our days. May apply our hearts to wisdom. Are you wise tonight? Think about your own life. Think about the end. Don't think about right now. Think about the end. It says about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This life is just for a season. You better number your days tonight, my friend. You better number your days and apply your own heart to wisdom. Amen.